Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Well, look, I don't want to spoil it, but we do some singing in this show.
Well, the decade of the 80s created one of the most controversial music forms ever known to man called disco, and I believe we spent a little time singing it, didn't we?
Well, we cover the vast difference in the 70s.
Just 5 years is all it was.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's incredible. And we also have some hot face frame talk.
Hot face frame, hot tile talk. It's all there.
A lot of tile, a lot of under.
Some demo business.
I give you guys a tip for subflooring.
Yeah, you do. Could change the game.
It's a game changer.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
All right, first I'll tell you about 8sleep.com. Every podcast has a mattress ad. Oh, sure, there are thousands of them. But only one uses technology and temperature to give you the deepest sleep. The Pod by 8sleep. First bed to combine dynamic temperature regulation and sleep tracking. This thing is a game changer, people. Research shows the link between sleep performance and temperature. Of course, this thing could have saved my childhood sweltering out here in the San Fernando Valley. The Pod reacts in real time, adjusting the temp to keep you comfortable. Stats say it all. Pod customers fall asleep faster, toss and turn 25% less. That is a lot. And have a 17% increase in deep sleep. Sleep hygiene, it's a big deal, and your temperature is all of it, man. And you get it right, it learns it, and you sleep right through the night, and you wake up ready to take on the world. Right now, get $150 off your Pod with the free shipping at 8sleep.com/ace. That's E-I-G-H-T, sleep.com/ace.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. 2020 is here, and another year of Adam's Monthly Nut is about to bust. This month's shipment includes a Mr. Burcham tape measure, so you can remember the horrors of the jungle while marking that 2x4. A Wallet Ninja credit card multi-tool. There will come the time you will save the day with it. A sack of Aussie's famous flank steak seasoning, so you can make your meat taste just like Aussie's. And as always, a bottle of your choosing. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let A show you how.
Get it on. Got to get on a church.
Get it on.
Yeah. Welcome to Ace on the House. Heck, I'm Pearl, yeah. Here. And Stromer over there.
Peeking on the coffee and Ritalin.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Coffee and Ritalin. Oh, man.
Hey, I finished the 300-foot fence line that I had on the property with taking the trees out. The fence is done. I had it all halfway up, and then I was sitting in the backyard, and I realized the guys followed the line and didn't level each board for about 50 boards, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I said to myself, I looked at my straight 4x4 redwood posts, and mm-hmm. I said, why are they not on plumb? And then I realized they screwed up. So we had to take off about 50 boards, but then we got it right, and it looks beautiful. You know what I'm saying?
Because what did they put the boards on with, screws or nails?
We did nails first, to your suggestion.
We pop and pop,
and then I sent the guy with the screw gun and did the color screws.
I listened to you.
And it worked, and it's beautiful.
I finally got my counters done. I want to thank TommyJohn.com/Adam for supporting the show, and 8sleep.com as well/Ace, and Geico.com. I had finally, and I hope you listening and possibly the Stromer clan can find some usefulness out of this. And Gary, if you get my phone, you'll see pictures of the countertop.
Are the ones that you posted to Twitter?
Probably, yeah. I posted a few to Twitter. It's been driving me nuts in my house that I had these like fleshy brown, beigey, brownie countertops.
You hated them.
Bugging the shit out of me.
No, you can't have it.
And they're like brand new and Caesarstone and really nice. And I didn't want to make the mess of tearing them up and blah, blah, blah. Right. So I started doing some investigating. And they have, I'll show you the picture of the counter before. It's sort of a off-white, beige, fleshy. It's just a bad color for a kitchen. And I live in a modern house, and I wanted a white countertop.
Sure, sure.
But I didn't want
it. It's Buick Regal Beige.
But I did not want to tear up the thing.
No.
So I started investigating and realized that they do a Caesarstone veneer. It's a half inch thick. It may be so and so millimeter, you know, maybe 13 millimeters or something. It may be metric. I don't know, but it's a half inch.
Yeah.
And they just take it and they just cap it. They literally just go right over the top.
Do they do do you have an overmount counter over your sink? And if so, how do they do that? There's a little return that goes over.
Good question.
Okay.
If you have an undermount sink, which you should have, they will take a diamond blade on a circular, you know, on a right angle grinder, whatever, and they'll cut out the Caesarstone around it to clear the lip, they will raise it up.
Then
they will go over the top with this stuff, and then they'll bullnose down in the front like an inch and 2 inches or whatever to make it. And so your countertops are going to be a half inch higher, and they're going to come out.
That's been vogue now, a thicker top.
And they're going to, it'll be taller. I don't know. You won't see it. Yeah. It's thicker. Yeah. And it'll come out a half inch, and then you'll have like a 2 inch bullnose on the front. There's little negotiations on the edges and stuff like that. And there's a little.
God, how do they carry that stuff without it breaking?
I don't know. It's a little clearances on the drawers and stuff like that. But when you're done, you end up with now a white Caesarstone countertop that's on top of a brown.
Save yourself thousands of dollars,
I'm sure. And it's real, and it ain't cheap, by the way. But it's really the mess of tearing up a kitchen countertop.
Well, and then potentially compromising those beautiful cabinets while you're doing the demo, right?
Right. At home, I was doing the countertops. Yeah. At the warehouse, I was doing the shear walls and hanging some of the lid, and did the steel, put the steel up, the steel I-beams up on the mezzanine, they're calling it, storage over at the new warehouse. So I've just been kind of going at it like I do.
But look at you, svelte.
Well, by day, I move some I-beams around. Yeah. And by night,
you're doing some sets.
I'm doing sets.
Like they say in the comedy game.
Oh, you know, I had a first.
What?
You know, they always talk about getting bumped on a set.
Sure.
You know, like somebody shows up. I was at the Comedy Store last night, and I walked to the green room in the back.
Yeah.
And there sat Bill Burr. Yeah. And I was like, hey, Bill, how's it going? I was like, hey, man. And then I said, oh, were you performing tonight? And he's like, no, I just dropped in to do a 10-minute set. And I said, oh. And then I said, when you up or whatever? And he goes, well, I was just going to go up, just do 10 minutes. And then he sort of looked at me, and then he realized I was up. And he went, do you mind? And I went, no, go ahead. And then I just walked around and watched him do 10 minutes.
And then did you do your thing?
No, I went home and wept openly. Yes, I did
my thing. Do you still get nervous sitting there waiting to go on?
I don't. But I have had a couple moments of it, which is two things.
Yeah.
One is... I'm trying to think. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what happened.
Yeah.
when I walked into the club, it was in the main room, and it was like pretty much sold out.
Yeah.
And Pete Holmes, who's real funny, was on stage being real funny.
Yeah.
And then I was going to go up, but I got bumped, and then Bill Burr was going to go up, and he's a total crowd favorite and real funny. So then Bill Burr went up, and then I was like, oh, now I better bring it.
You know what I mean?
I can't go on right behind Bill Burr and just get up there and experiment with some notions of some jokes. You know what I mean? I gotta kind of.
You gotta bring some stuff.
Gotta bring the heat.
Bringing new material when you're doing this, or are you just doing it to stay sharp? Like every time you go to Comedy Store to do this, is it trying out new material or is it just getting the juice by doing it?
It's a mixture of old stuff you kind of know works and newer stuff you're trying to work out and the occasional stuff I've never said before on stage. Just going to try to completely
And then are you alone monitoring if it's going over well, or do you have somebody like in the audience saying that went great? Like, are you that present to know
and remember? I have deputized 400 people in the audience to let me know whether it's going well, and they shall let you know.
And they do. They're always the same, always right, no matter where you are in America.
There are certain places, even within here, like there's a difference between the Ice House in Pasadena and the Comedy Store on the Sunset Strip. It's like a little different crew, different audience.
Right.
But the audience will let you know whether this new joke is working or not. Obviously, immediately. They let you know, so you have to figure it out.
That's intense.
It's not, you know.
I don't know how you do that.
I'll tell you what it is. Once you do something, you just do it.
Yeah.
And whether it's doing stand-up comedy or driving a race car, once you do it, then that's what you do.
Yeah.
Then the intensity level goes away.
But were you ever terrified or no when you first started?
When I first started, I was nervous and I was approaching it. You know, it's a process, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like having sex. If you're nervous and up in your head, like it's just not.
Stop staying in my bedroom at night. How do you know these things?
It doesn't serve you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the only way to get better in bed or to get better on stage is just to log time. So it's like when I used to do it, there's a comfort level that just isn't there at the beginning.
But that's is the comfort level bad, or do you have to be uncomfortable to be edgy?
The reality is the discomfort speeds you up.
Yeah.
The speeding up of the process makes you kind of plow through the jokes,
okay,
and it doesn't help.
I see.
The slowing it down comfort zone. And the audience is like, basically, think of the audience as a bear.
Yeah.
If they sense fear,
you're dead.
You're in trouble. Yeah. If they, you can take as much time as you want in between jokes or pause or do whatever. If they think you're just doing it because you're relaxed or chillaxed or comfortable or confident or whatever, they'll hang with you.
Yeah.
If they think you're scared or screwing up,
you're done.
So. But you can't fake it. You can't fake not being scared of a bear.
Yeah.
You have to kind of actually not be scared of a bear.
Right.
And that's
the experience.
That's the experience. That's where tons of camping trips come into play.
Right.
But you do want to do a mixture of new stuff and old stuff and different versions of new stuff.
So like if you do a new thing and it just tanks, do you immediately go in your head to the bit you know is going to kill to like get it back? Or do you stay in the plan of how you've structured this night? You know what I'm saying?
Like, if you do it enough, you don't even have to really structure the night. You can just kind of go, what are we doing, 20 minutes? And they go, And you go, okay. And then you just go, okay, I have enough stuff here. But, yes, you will if something's not going well. Or if you do some gross-out joke.
Yeah.
Like I have a couple of disgusting jokes.
Yeah.
You know, you do one of those and the audience kind of goes, ugh. You go, okay, well, let me tell you a cat joke. Yeah. My cat thinks it's a person. Yeah. Like, you have to. Yeah.
Temper the gross with the cat jokes. That's a great metaphor for life.
Yeah. I did this joke last night. I said, worst job ever is, porn star makeup artist, you know, because they're artists, you know, makeup artists.
Right.
They think of themselves as artists, you know,
sure.
and they have a craft, and And I said, and imagine what a horrible job this is, because like they're makeup artists. It's got the word art in there. Yeah. And it's like if you were a fine artist, you know, and you were just like in your studio and, you know, you're painting a bowl of fruit with like an acrylic or something. Right. And you spent all morning working on it. And right when you finish, some black guy with a huge dick just comes all over your painting. Like, wouldn't that piss you off?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd be confused. Yeah. For sure, you'd be confused. But then you'd be angry, right? And it's no different.
And right. The audience sometimes just goes, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then you go, hey, my cat.
Anyway, I think she's a person. Yeah.
All right, I got you.
Is that a good example of a gross joke?
I'll never forget that example.
It's also the kind of joke that people can laugh really hard at or just go like, the fuck are you talking about joke? Well, you guys think it's funny, right?
Yeah.
Guy breaks into the studio, just beats off all of it. Just blows a load all over your acrylic
bowl.
Paint.
Got a fruit bowl, for Christ's sake.
Well, it's not the bowl. It's the painting.
No, I know.
The bowl,
that's what I'm saying. It's on the painting.
But you couldn't tell the difference.
No.
That
and there's
good.
A certain... And then it...
The key to that joke, you go, you'd be angry. You'd be confused, right. But you'd be angry. First confused, later anger sets in.
Oh, God.
Giacomo?
Hey, what's up, Ace? Stromer, thank you for taking my call.
Chicago. Hey, there man, I'm coming out to Chicago this week.
I know it, and I'm going to try and see you guys, but they have the conference for the White Sox that day, and my kid really wants to go. So if
but
I
that's
can,
that
I will
day.
Definitely
I'm going to be performing that night.
Yeah.
Come
bring
on
the kid
then.
At night. Come on.
Yeah. All right. Well,
yeah,
go ahead.
I'll do what I can. I appreciate it.
All right.
So in my garage, I have a 10-foot ceiling, and it's already got a skin coat of plaster. It's built in 67, and back then they did like a little trowel-type finish. But over the years, poking holes or whatever, you could never get that to match, so I wanted to finish it.
Is it over and button? Button board?
It's the first style of drywall from what I was told.
Oh, so
where it's a skin coat of plaster. It's not lath and plaster, but it's
that's button board, yeah. I think.
Okay, all right. I'm not familiar with that. So I want to finish over it,
mm-hmm.
and with it being a 10-foot ceiling, I've seen some options with kind of it looks like a reclaimed wood paneling, which looks great, but then I'm going to be ripping it down, and then I have to do something with the seams between the 2-foot and the 8-foot panel. So another option is that corrugated metal. I was thinking of using as like a wainscot for the first 3 feet and then put a trim piece and then that paneling that I'm referring to above that. I've never worked with that, though, so I'm a little intimidated by it. You got any experience or any other suggestions?
All right, so are we talking about putting something on the ceiling or doing a wainscot?
I'm covering the existing wall, so it's a wainscot with the metal is option A, and then above the wainscot, covering that existing, what did you say it was called?
Button board.
The button board?
Yeah.
Yeah, covering the button board with like a paneling. Just because it's old and been damaged, and when they try to touch it up, it just never matches.
All right. Well, there's lots of paneling and lots of paneling choices now. Wainscot, like when people do, I don't know about the corrugated wainscot.
Corrugated metal.
Yeah, I would see if I could find the right size and not get a nibbler out and try to cut up.
I think 42 inches is normal height. So,
well, the thing about the corrugated stuff is it comes long and narrow.
Right,
so
it's like 3 feet or 2.5 feet.
Yeah,
I think.
Right. So it's relatively inexpensive to do the span that I need to do.
It is, but you want it running right to left. The corrugated stuff. You want it running long ways,
well,
not up
work.
And down.
Yeah.
Okay,
that would work.
Well, that's pretty easy to do as long as you get you gotta put a chair rail on top of it, right? You gotta kind of like cap it on top,
correct.
And the paneling is pretty straightforward. I mean, you could put it up with some liquid nails or some shit on the back or mastic on the back, and just pop in a couple of brad nails, you know, here and there,
right.
Just kind of keep it stuck.
And you could use that, you know, that the corrugated roofing. Is that what you're talking about? Because it's pretty inexpensive at the big box store, and it would.
It is. It's a big box item. I'm assuming they use it for roofing, but I have seen you know, in this application.
And it might. It may be
more and more often.
It may be a little heavy to not put a couple of, you know, screws with washers to hold it in place. You know, so. Beware.
And that's going to be against the floor, so it'll have, you know, it'll be kind of holding its own weight. You're just going to kind of tack it to the wall.
Yeah, yeah. And I would definitely pre-drill and then get sheet metal screws with the rubberized washers, and they sell them so they're all silver and they're rubberized, and that'd probably be an easy way to install it. But make sure that you know exactly where your studs are, and also make sure that you make your pattern completely parallel. Otherwise, it's going to read, and you'll see it'll look terrible. You know what
that
I'm saying? Yeah,
I agree. And, you know, paneling, you have a table saw? Do you have some way to rip up the paneling when you need to cut it long ways?
That I would have to rent. I do have some tools, but that's not one of them.
Why don't you buy yourself a little one?
A couple $100, that's it for a nice saw. Come
for a table saw?
Yeah.
I don't know what other applications I would use it where it would be worth the investment.
You get to be an American with a table saw, so you can join an elite fraternity.
Sure. It's probably less if you buy it than rent it, too. I would imagine a couple of days you're going to use it. It's $300 maybe for the table saw, like a DeWalt makes a nice table saw.
I just got a DeWalt table saw.
It's nice,
not the contractor size
one. For rough stuff, it's fine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just to do something like this, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, they worked the fence out on those things
now.
Yeah,
they did. You're right. It's nice.
The fence always used to be...
You'd have to put a framing square on it and try and tighten it where it wouldn't move.
And when you'd suck it down, the end would always suck in and it'd pinch shit off. And you'd end up just you couldn't even use the calibrated arm. You'd have to just put a tape measure on the back of the blade and put a tape measure on the front of the blade and then, like, put a C-clamp on the back. It was always a fucking disaster.
But that dial on the DeWalt fence is actually really accurate, don't you think? I like it.
I haven't even I got it. What the fuck was I doing? Oh, you know what I was doing with it? I had these two cabinets that were like, I don't want to call them doghouse type cabinets in my kitchen, and when I raised the counter half inch, I had to pull the doors off and take a half inch off them.
Oh, okay.
Because the counter height was higher now,
right?
So I just bought. I'd been dealing with that little crappy bent, you know, Craftsman table saw with the bad fence and the whatever. I mean, literally hasn't changed since 1983.
Terrible.
Kind of thing. And I just said, fuck it. I'm getting the DeWalt that's got a fence that locks in, that's calibrated where I can figure it out.
Did you get the stand, the handheld stand?
I didn't get the wheel.
Not the wheel one, the one that looks like an old, remember those old projector screens that you pull up and
Oh, I
on
didn't
the
get
top?
That one.
Yeah.
Well, it's barely out of the box. I haven't fucked around with it yet. But
I like the one that I'm talking about. I have it. It's great. Solid. Four legs come out easy and they lock.
Yeah, and listen, y'all, when, you know, people are like, oh, should I get a half-inch drill motor? Be the person that just goes, I'm only going to use it for this one thing, so it doesn't seem like a good idea to buy it. It's like, I don't know, it's like buying a suit, you know? Well, I'm only going to wear it twice a year. It's like, all right, but have a suit.
Right. And get a suit that's timeless and you can wear it for 25 years.
You're a dude. Have a table saw and have a suit.
Have a navy blazer.
Have a navy blazer.
Right?
And underneath that suit, you should wear Tommy John.
Oh, that is a transition, baby doll.
I'm wearing mine right now. Oh, man. They are the best. Proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever worn before. No wedgie guarantee. Comfortable stay-put waistbands. Luxurious, soft, feather-light, moisture-wicking, breathable fabrics designed to move with you. No bunching and no riding up. Jeez, which ones am I wearing now? I was wearing my holiday print.
How dare you?
John's.
Outside of a holiday, you put those on?
I gotta check.
All right, let's take a look.
I'm wearing my Tommy John T-shirt, by the way.
All right, let's see. Jesus.
Yeah.
Those look like the Candyland board game pattern, actually.
They are the best, man.
And you can say to your babies, come to Candyland.
Come to Candyland. So, Tommy John, by the way, you can now get them you can shop in over 1,200 retail locations across the country, including Nordstrom stores as well. Tommy John, best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guaranteed. Right, Matt?
That's right. Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right. We have a vid question.
Yes, we do. And as always, we would love for you to email your video questions to us, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Go to aceontheroof.com if you want to see them. And this first video question comes to us from Dan in San Fran.
Hey, Ace, Eric, get it on. I just busted out a bunch of tile in my powder room and
slant?
Planning to put down a new
Wonderboard mesh.
Set of tiles. Yeah. But I was wondering about what's going on underneath. As you can see, I've got some thinset here, and then there's some what appears to be fiberglass mesh. And then we have a layer of mortar, and then there's actually more fiberglass mesh underneath that.
Pause it for a second. So he's mistaking cement board for fiberglass mesh, mortar, and fiberglass mesh,
correct,
which is how you would make a piece of Wonder Board.
Correct.
Sorry, continue.
I think this might be tar paper. Mm-hmm. And then underneath that, there's even more paper. I'm just wondering, do I take all this out, or should I try to leave this paper here and then go up from there? What would you guys use for underlayment for the new job? I've heard that the Detra system is pretty easy to do. I'm not terribly handy, but I'm hopeful that it's straightforward. So any recommendations you guys have would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
What system? Is he like a Schluter kind of thing?
It's probably the lightweight foam board stuff. Have you seen it?
No.
I think it's that he's talking about. It literally weighs like the weight of styrofoam, but it's compressed enough where it can be used on walls or floors.
High density. Wow, close sell.
But for this gentleman, he's got to get it.
He's not on a slab.
Everything's
obviously
coming up. Yeah, it's a raised foundation with a wood subfloor. Get under it with a shovel, flat shovel, and get all of it off. Take the tar paper.
What's wrong with leaving the tar paper?
Because he's going to rip it when he's demoing it anyway.
All right, so what, you want to lay down some new felt?
Yeah, I'd put down some new felt.
How many pounds?
Well, you just use the craft paper. It's fine.
Okay.
If you're just going to do board again, it's fine.
It always strikes me as a little weird, which is the Wonder Board, at least to my knowledge, always seems to be about a half inch thick.
Yeah.
And screwing down the Wonder Board onto a subfloor, a raised foundation, especially if the house was built in the 40s or something, and then putting the tile on that doesn't feel like enough base.
Right.
It feels like there's too much flex.
Yes. If it's and you can tell, if to your point, if it's moving by just walking on it and seeing if the floor is moving.
What I would do, I'll tell you a couple of things. I don't like to make it about myself.
No, but take your time.
Can I tell you this?
I hope you do.
All right. I had this situation where there was just too much flex in the old floor.
Yeah.
Sometimes people look subflooring. You know, the subflooring we use today, I'm using more. It's inch and an eighth.
Yeah,
you know, sturdy whatever. Subfloor, whatever, tongue and groove, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they'd use 1x6, you know, just nailed in with just
and
a common head
nail.
And
they all move. They all flex.
Of course, so you step in the middle of a 1x6 and it flexes. And
I
agree. Got a couple of common head six-penny nails like holding it down.
Right.
So this is a situation. So first things first, strip it all off, see what you got.
Right.
You got plywood, you got 1x6, you got whatever. Secondly, get some goddamn screws going instead of nails in that sub. Third, and I've done this, I've taken the like inch and an eighth sturdy floor, ripped it into like 14 and a half or whatever we'll put up in the bay, gone underneath the house.
Ooh, sucked it like a sandwich.
Pushed it up and put 2x4 ledgers up next to it, beefing up.
Oh, that's good. Between the framing members.
Not only am I beefing up the floor joists, which are only 2x6 in some cases.
So now you're creating a square, essentially.
I'm essentially taking a modern-day subfloor. You could do it with 3/4 ply or OSB, but the sturdy floor that's an inch and an eighth.
Right.
And you push it up tight. And then when you put your rails on, you take your 2x4 rails and you just angle the screws up so it kind of sucks it up there.
Right.
You can even slather on some subfloor adhesive to the face of it. So you take that bay, you take each bay and you sturdy
fortify it.
Then you go back with your vapor barrier. Then you go back with your sturdy, your hardy back or whatever it is. And now you got a base.
And we got to consider, though, that what's the existing floor in the rest of the house and what are you going to do with your height? Are you going to be exactly at the right height of the existing floor? Are you going to be above it, proud of it, or below it?
I think if you really lock off that base, if you do what I just said to do, then you can put your half-inch Wonder Board back on and tile. But if there's any flex, I don't like that half-inch.
And if level is not and waviness is not an issue, the Hardy Backer, I think, is an easier product to work with in terms of being messy and difficult to cut. It's really simple, and I love how flat it is.
Is Hardy Backer, Gary, come in thicker than half-inch?
It does. It comes in half inch, and then I think it goes up to 3/4 potentially.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
See if there's 3/4 cement board, Gary, or Hardy Backer, and then
they make two sizes. I'm not exactly sure. I can't remember what they are. One's
what was the foam one you were talking about? I think they make a thinner one and a half inch. I've never seen the 3/4,
maybe
they have it. What
cement
do I know?
Backer board comes in two standard thicknesses, half inch and quarter inch.
Wow.
Industry
who could have ever
known?
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You get back to the runway in Milan.
Yeah, okay.
I'll handle the Hardy.
But see,
Backer.
I don't use that stuff. I float everything.
Oh.
I don't ever use Backer board. I think it's crap.
Yeah. You're saying you're too good.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like you, for example, say, telling a joke about making a sculpture and then having someone show up and then masturbate.
It's a painting.
It's the same thing. You know?
It's a painting, Stromer. You butchered my joke already. Although sculpture might work.
Yeah.
It's an artist. You make a sculpture. Yeah. You know what?
See?
You know
I've
what?
I've got something.
Sculpture.
Thank you.
Tonight.
You're welcome.
Tonight, artist. A fine artist. You're picking. You're making a sculpture.
That's right.
Although, would you do, like, you did a bowl of fruit.
Yeah.
I feel like you paint the bowl of fruit.
Yeah.
Like, what would be the sculpture? Like, what would
the sculpture would be.
You take a picture of your son's head, your daughter's head, and you put it up on the easel, and then you get the clay out.
Okay, how about this?
And then the black guy comes.
No, how about this? How about a potter's wheel? You make a bowl, and the guy comes and jizzes in your bowl. Ways to go.
I like the picture. I like your daughter with special needs.
Yes.
And you, for her gravesite, they want a
well, then there's comedy to be had with you're making a bus and you can link that up.
Yeah, you're making
your
a
daughter
bus.
Daughter with special needs and out of marble sculpted the wheelchair with her torso.
Now, now you're getting in a bad taste. But you're a wonderful sculptor. You're an artist.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to try sculpture.
Oh, that one made me sweat.
It's got to be the daughter, right? It's got to be the daughter. We have like a picture
braces.
Of her head up
she's
there.
She's got braces.
You
just,
when finally the finish.
Supports her limbs.
I'm making it.
Oh, my God.
This time in life, I'm taking it. No more. No more. Faking it. This time in life, taking it to the top. Taking it to the top. Who sung that song, Gary? It's called Making It. It's probably like.
Wasn't it a. It was a 70s thing.
It's probably like 79 or something.
Yeah.
And it's one of those songs. It's sort of. The 70s version.
It's almost
of,
like, believe it or not, I'm walking on
air.
It's the same time period as that
one. It's what's in your head if you just nailed an audition and someone told you you got the job and Stromer's in his dolphin shorts
walking,
and his hair's
so
flowing.
Proud and just no shirt, puka
no,
shell.
No, you're puka shell, no shirt, but you're in the cab.
Oh,
you're the cab.
Oh, yeah.
LA.
Oh, yeah, and I got my leg warmers.
This is
blaring. I got leg warmers.
Yeah, leg warmers. You borrowed your dad's leg warmers.
Yeah, I did.
And this is Yeah. David Naughton.
Yes, that's
right.
And this is
blaring in the speaker.
But that's the werewolf guy.
I think it's the Dr. Pepper and werewolf Lynn London guy, too.
You bet it is.
79.
Yep.
You guys tell me if you
made him a big star, for God's sake.
You can hear this song and be in a bad mood. Also, David Naughton was a... It was a fashion plate, too, because it was one of those guys. He kind of brought back...
Here it is.
He brought back the vest.
Yes!
He wore a vest over a collarless shirt.
Look at it. I'm moving. It's got that, like, fake ray gun sound.
Oh, what do you mean? This is timeless. You don't know when this is from.
No, not me.
It's a coincidence that it's 79.
Hey. Yeah. I just nailed the audition for the soap opera.
That's right.
I'm solid gold. I've got the goods.
Yeah. Fromer just got himself an arc in the dumb and the beautiful. You're perfect.
Yeah, here I go, man.
Don't I'm even speak.
I'm tan as hell. I don't have to say anything. Yes.
This guy, you want to talk about the most versatile performer in the United States?
Yeah.
He's doing the Dr. Pepper commercials.
Where is he now? Van Nuys.
What's he not going to do?
Faking it.
Yeah.
This time in life, I'm making it.
Yeah. Here it comes.
This coming year's going to be my year.
Hey!
As bad as they come.
Breakdown.
Yeah.
This is the part where I limbo. Yeah. That's right.
Success is mine. I've got the gig. I'm making it. I've got the chance. I'm taking it.
No more. This could be the greatest montage song ever made.
Yeah.
You know what's so crazy? It's like, this is in the same decade as Four Dead in Ohio. This
no,
is like,
it's not.
I swear, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and Young, all Joan Baez and stuff. These guys were all singing about Vietnam, like Creedence Clearwater.
This song reminds me of when I got herpes for the first time from that aerobics teacher.
Was she wearing leg warmers?
Yeah, she was. That's
you should have been wearing a leg warmer.
You know I should.
Hey,
there he is.
There's David Naughton. He's wearing a vest.
Yes, he is. How do you remember?
Oh. I drink Dr. Pepper, don't you see?
Yeah.
In a vest.
The perfect taste for me.
Yeah.
That original taste, you know. It's making peppers everywhere I go. Peppers, cooking,
this
peppers,
is back when they could make commercials with nothing but white people.
Yeah.
Peppers all in
can't pull this off anymore, right?
No.
I have one black guy.
Yeah, there's
what we need. Ask any pepper and he'll say, only Dr. Pepper tastes that way. There's carrying peppers, marrying peppers, dying peppers, quiet peppers. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too? They're saluting peppers, tooting peppers.
Popeye the Pepper Man.
What? Popeye's in it?
Yeah.
There's 128 people in this commercial and one black man and zero women of color and zero Hispanic.
That's it.
All right. This guy was at the height of his powers, man, in 1979.
Yeah, superpowers. Some say superpowers. But where is he now, guys? What happened?
I don't know.
I need to know.
I need to know, too. What year was Four Dead in Ohio?
That was 69, wasn't it? I think it was.
It had to be a couple of the songs had to make it into the 70s. You know, Vietnam War went to 74.
Did it? Yeah, you're right. I guess it did.
You think of Vietnam War as like 60s, 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 and you think of all that Crosby, Stills, and that. You think of all that as 60s, but some of it made it to like 70s.
Four Dead in Ohio.
I'm making it. Neil Young must have just never stopped throwing up when he heard this asshole up there talking about making it. It's like, we got to make change, man.
Oh, man.
All right. Let's see. What do you got? You got a piece of Geico there?
Yeah, heck yeah. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy, though? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because why? Well, you already have so much to do around the home. Go to GEICO.com to get a quote and see how much you could save. It's easy. Go GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. G-E-I-C-O. GEICO.
Oh, internet's down, Fort Denton, Ohio. Well, just go ask Kalen.
No, no, it's not down, but I'm scared by what it's telling me.
Oh, it's telling you 1984? No.
Okay.
No, Fort Denton, Ohio's got
I don't
be
know
69.
What the name of the song was. You guys know the song we're talking about?
Oh, for God's sakes.
You'll know it. It's the Kent State.
But I mean,
National
it's got
Guard.
Substance. It's got passion. And then you got David Naughton in a vest. I don't know. What
it happens. The Kent State shooting from the National Guard. They're protesting
the war, the war effort.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So Neil Young was like, hey, man, 4 people dead on that campus because of Nixon and the National Guard. And then David Naughton was like, yeah, but what about soda?
And making it.
Yeah. Like we were at
I got a call back for crying out loud.
Mm.
You know?
Mm. Naughton was sitting around. I was like, what rhymes with Sonny D?
Yeah.
We got an answer. 6970.
Although a live version was included on the group's 1971 double album, Four-Way Street, the studio versions did not appear until the group's compilation So Far was released in 74.
Oh, sure.
Oh, so 5-year difference between the time you heard Four Dead in Ohio
and making
on the radio.
And making it.
Wow.
See, no wonder. Do you remember this from when they, in Kaminsky Park, I think it was, where they took all the disco
Someone
records?
Someone left the cake. Oh, that was MacArthur Park.
Remember that? They took all the disco records and
blew it up and
rolled
night.
Over them. Yeah, it was fantastic.
You guys don't know for it. You'll know it.
Come on.
They'll know it. When Gary finds it, they'll know it. All right. We'll play it just for the kids. But think about 5 years.
That's
five
all
years,
it is.
All it was is 5 years.
And I think it has to do with spandex. I think spandex corrupted everyone.
I'll tell you what it is.
Huh. There it is.
We get an ass full of like being preached at, and we just go, fuck it, I'm going to do some cocaine and do some roller boogieing and just fucking have a good time.
Yeah, that's right.
Now think about David Naughton singing this song. You guys know it? You don't know it yet, or do you? It's not a good song. But
yeah, it is. It's a great song.
Nah. Good harmony.
Come on.
All right, bring it down. We got Dwayne. Is that Dwayne on there? I'm just saying,
that's
man.
That's crazy.
Five years making it and Four Dead in Ohio.
That's
it's
big.
Crazy.
That's a societal shift if I ever saw it.
Mm. Dwayne?
Adam.
33, San Francisco. What's going on?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm looking to redo some of my kitchen cabinets, and we have face frame cabinets right now. The bottom cabinets have that big stile in the middle, and I'm thinking about knocking that out.
Yeah, hold on real quick. Face frame cabinets are not your Euro-type cabinets. The Euro-type cabinets are the ones, just not for you, for the people that are listening. The Euro cabinets, or they build the box, they put the doors on it, the doors are like half or full overlay or whatever, you just see the 1/8-inch shadow line in all the modern cabinets. This is the old style cabinets that had a face frame. I used to put those goddamn face frames
together. I like the face
frames. In Tom goddamn Johnson's shop in Chatsworth.
Tommy J.
Fucking dollar.
That's because you're the man.
Fucking dollar.
You don't fuck around.
And big bar clamps.
That's right.
And you'd make all the cabinets.
Right.
Then you'd make the face frame and stick the face frame to it. And then
how it should be. That's,
you'd hang the doors
that's
from
the
it.
The difference between Fort Denton, Ohio and making it.
I'm making it that face
See?
Frame to the top.
That's right.
With a dowel, dude.
Jeez.
Now you'd probably use a biscuit joiner.
Yeah, you would.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dwayne.
Well, you're having me appreciate the workmanship in this now. Maybe I shouldn't put my question forward.
Go ahead.
No, I'm trying to make more use, like have pullouts below so I can actually get to my pots and pans. I was thinking about knocking out the style and putting like some cross support so that the countertop is supported. And then we were thinking about putting that full door that covers it and makes it more look like a Euro style.
Yeah.
So that's on the bottom. And then on the top, there's also cabinets with styles. I know that seems like it's probably hanging and more structural. I don't know if you guys think...
What year is this from?
It's, you know, I think it's probably 25 years old, so like 90s.
I've done shit. I've torn apart houses where those fucking uppers, they didn't have backs on them. All they have is a fucking ledger, and it was nailed into the wall. It's crazy. That's why when everyone's like, they don't build them like they... I go, shut the fuck up. Right. You don't even know what you're talking about. Right. They didn't even use screws back then. I mean, these are cabinets where the back of the cabinet was a fucking wall.
That's it.
The bottom style you speak of is not holding anything up.
Well, I think it might hold the weight of the counter and maybe like the sink.
No, the sink. Oh, the sink's above it?
It's like a vertical piece.
Oh, the sink's above it. I don't think that face frame is really holding anything up. The sink is resting on the two dividers the right and the left.
Right. Because there's a toe kick, and that's...
You got a toe kick,
right? What
about
the weight, though? The weight of it.
Don't worry about the face frame being structural, okay?
Okay.
So let's
unless the face frame goes all the way to the ground, which I know it doesn't.
It's
there's a toe kick.
Yeah. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So don't worry about it being load bearing. Okay, Dwayne?
Okay.
With that, you're now free to do what you like. I like the pull out drawer. Let me give you a couple tips on the pull out drawers. you may make drawers and you may buy drawer blanks. Drawer blanks are like you can buy. It's like, I guess it'd be like glue. You can buy like birch or alder or something like that, and it's put together, and it's got the rabbit in it for the bottom, right? And you can buy like 8-foot lengths of it.
Yep.
And you could buy 4-inch, 6-inch, 8-inch, 10-inch, and you can chop it up and chop up the bottom.
Make your own drawer.
And just make your own size.
But you got to go to a cabinet supply store. You can't just get that stuff at a big box store. You have to find a cabinet supply store.
We're getting to the point now where you might be able to find the blanks, we call them blanks.
You get them at Far West Plywood, specialty cabinets.
Well, you could probably find the white vinyl blanks at a Home Depot, but you're not going to find
them. I haven't seen them.
I'll bet you.
And they have the grooves to slide in the bottom panel. It's really easy.
We call that a dado.
Yeah, a dado. That's right. again, it's not my thing, man. You know, I do tile. What do you want from me?
Tell me when you find your thing.
Yeah, my thing.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. So what do you guys think about the look?
You just the guy that came in and jizzed all over my sculpture, weren't you?
I'm going to try sculpture.
Sculpture jizzer.
It's your daughter and you're making a sculpture head for her birthday.
After the polio sets in. You're cruel. Artist. Anyway, go ahead.
I bet they have vinyl drawer blanks at Home Depot, but not the good wood ones that you want.
Never seen them.
Okay.
All right.
Gary, look them up.
All right.
They're probably...
What do you guys think about the look
blanks.
Of the cabinet? Like keep the old look or do we go with a bigger door that covers the style?
I like your surface mount, like your full overlay Euro version you're talking about. You're talking about like a full overlay that the door goes fully over.
But listen...
And you do the Euro hinges.
But listen, why even take the face frame off? Just get new doors and do overlay doors on the face frame.
Well, if the style is too wide, you can't get them.
Pullout.
Huh?
He wants the utility of
the pull-out. I got you. I got you.
The wide pull-out.
All right.
You're going to paint everything, or is it stain grade, or where are we at?
Yeah, I got to paint it.
Okay, you can take things apart. You can work this out. The doors, if they're just slab and they're full overlay, you can make them too, but I don't know if you're capable of that.
Just buy the doors.
Buy the doors.
Yeah.
Buy them mortise, buy them drill.
Yep.
Get the correct hinge, you know. Yep. You can The Euro stuff is pretty straightforward. It's not that complicated. And the thing about the Euro hinges is there's a lot of adjustment.
Yeah.
A lot.
Tons. Yeah.
So that can save your ass if you can and move the top out.
You know
out
what? Don't you think
inch.
You ought to take a look at Sigea Hardware, just on their website, so he can understand what we're talking about?
Hold on. Sid Charney or Sid Sigea?
I like the Sigea.
You can get this shit everywhere now. Yeah. Just go online, figure it out. You could have the doors made as well. I don't know, because then you got to get into edge banding and shit like that.
But now begs the question: if we're going this far to save the turd, why don't we just do new boxes? Just start over.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, what do you guys think about IKEA kitchens?
I think they're fine.
Like,
they're fine.
I think they're totally
fine. But look, you can pop. I can guarantee you that you can pop your face frame off of the uppers and the lowers.
But then he's going to have to cover with edge banding or a piece of one by the raw side of the three-quarter, whatever the material is. It's probably particle board.
You could do iron-on edge banding if you want.
Yeah, to me, now you're in the minutiae is such a pain in the ass, you might as well just get new boxes.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to move the sink and do – all right.
Right. Well, that was I have some hot tiling talk questions. Like,
they tiled up to the toe kick,
and I don't want to tile below the boxes. Like, I can just cut that out and tile the exposed spot. But if I want to do it all and do it right, then you're saying rip out the entire kitchen and put in new tile and then put in new boxes.
Yep.
Well, look,
that's what Dwayne, I'm saying.
Right. Listen,
I'm not Adam Rich, but you know.
Adam Rich is from Eight Is Enough.
Yeah, it is. He's an actor. I love his work, by the way. Fantastic.
Look up Adam Rich from Eight Is Enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Dwayne, if you want to go the Adam Poor version, that's Adam Rich.
There he is.
I told you.
Look at those bangs.
I want the Adam new job, buy a house and invest in thyself.
Okay.
That's the route I
want to
go.
Look, if you want to pop off the face frame all the way around, you can. If you then want to put the sliders at the bottom, you can. They have the full extension hardware. They got the whole thing. You can do the drawer blanks. You make them, you know, deduct half an inch on each side or whatever. You figure it out. Okay.
Yep.
You can then do the full slab Euro doors on the dividers that are half overlay, and you leave that 1/8-inch shadow. You won't even really see the edge that much. You could even just paint the edge black or something, or white or whatever. Just give it the shadow line
or
whatever. Yeah,
because of that overlay, you're right, you won't see it. But I would suggest this.
You could blow out the whole thing and go to IKEA.
Get one drawer blank and see if it's even something you want to deal with. Don't buy a bunch of material and say, I'm doing this, until you do one, because it might be such a pain in the ass for you that you just want to get a new IKEA box.
I think Adam Rich showed up to our like homecoming or something when I was in high school.
You mean like as a celebrity appearance thing?
No, as a cheerleader.
Hey, no.
Yeah, it's a celebrity. He was like going to ride in the back of the convertible Mustang.
But wasn't everybody just like, who cares? Or were they excited?
Well, I don't know.
Were you thrilled with Adam Rich? Tell me the truth.
Not particularly.
Yeah, okay. Well,
but I did get to sit next to Blair from The Facts of Life when I was 16. And I was fucking over the moon about that.
That's a whole other level. Could you smell her? Her perfume?
Oh, man. Her hair smelled so good.
Attaboy.
She had so much hair.
Take it easy.
When was 8 Is Enough probably went off the air in probably like 80 or 79, right when Michael Naughton was making it?
Yeah, he was.
David
Naughton.
I mean, David Naughton. Yeah. Was it David Naughton?
Yeah.
I don't remember. Whatever. He was it went off in 81, so he was probably like 82. Like, he was. That was the last of Adam Rich's celebrity.
Yeah.
He was the young kid with
good
bangs.
He had the
great
best
bangs. Killer bangs.
Yeah.
All right. You can go this Friday, Milwaukee, and then it's off to Chicago.
I'm trying to picture you with bangs right now, and I'm frankly a little turned
My
on.
My bangs go up. They don't go down. Milwaukee, the Pabst Theater. That'll be this Friday doing stand-up there. Maybe I'll tell my modified
Give me credit, please.
Yeah.
Writer's credit.
I'm going to work this out tonight.
All right.
You can also check out the 24-Hour War and Shelby American. Yeah. And Uppity is now up on Chassis, chassy.com as well.
Yeah.
So do that. Pre-order my book. I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. That's up at Amazon, and you can click through our link if you – it just helps. And subscribe to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/Adam. And check out PD Stories from Amy, the creators of Cold Case Files, on Podcast One as well. And yes. Apple Podcast Stromer. You got a basketball tournament or doing more fencing?
I'm going to do it. No, I'm going to spend a little quality time with Mrs. Stromer. She's back.
Oh,
and
back.
You know, it's nice to put the cocoa butter on her again. Am I right?
So until next time, I'm Carl Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.